right. Well, good morning, Life Point Church. And thank you so much for once again coming and hanging out with us here online. Before we get into our conversation today, I want to give you a quick update concerning our reopen. You know, our leadership team has spent a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time in Zoom meetings and conferences discussing when is the best date for us to reopen. And what we've come to is, and I'm excited to announce that we have targeted June 21st to be our reopen date. And we came to that decision because the safety and the physical and emotional well-being of every person at Life Point Church, as well as everyone in our community, is one of our top priorities. And in order to maintain that, we feel that a 21st reopen date is the best and the most responsible thing for us to do. So we're really excited about it. Can't wait to see you guys again on the 21st. And as we get closer to that date, we're going to be rolling out some more information that's going to kind of let you know what to expect as we go through this reopen process and this, you know, and this change. But until then, keep hanging out with us online. Check out our website and our social media for more information and updates along the way. And definitely keep hanging out with us here on Facebook Live and after the fact on our website and on YouTube as we continue to do life together here in this digital platform until we can meet again. And so with that being said, if you're watching live right now, go ahead, start inviting your friends, invite your family, get that watch party going, and you know, and really let's get as many people in here to connect as possible. And whether you're watching now live or you're watching after the fact, make sure you get in that comment section, say hey to somebody, and connect throughout our time together. And so today we're in week 3 of our current message series called Seasons. And what we're doing in this series is we're working through some of the more common and some of the more challenging seasons that we go through in life. Now, just like with the seasons within nature, right? Summer, fall, winter, spring, it's in living through and experiencing all the different seasons that allows us to better understand and more fully appreciate life, right? And how each season, no matter how tough or difficult or amazing it may be, each season is necessary in our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual growth and well-being. How God uses the good, the bad, and the ugly of all these different seasons of life to bring us closer to Him and to help us to be more like Him every single day. And while life, you know, I don't know about for you, but for me, life tends to constantly throw me curveballs, right? I'm constantly faced with the unknown. But in life, there is for sure one thing that we always know, and that is that there is a season for everything. There is a time for everything. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, which is our key verse for this entire series, King Solomon says this. He says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun." And so based on this, we can understand and grasp the fact that as we journey through life, basically, we're going to see and experience it all. There's a season for everything. And in week 1, we kicked off the series by talking about a season of life that actually we are all in the middle of right now and that we're going to continue to be in for quite some time. And that's a season of change. Last week, we talked about one of the more difficult and more painful seasons of life. And that's the season of hurt. And if you missed either one of those messages, you can always go back and check it out. We have them posted on our website, here on Facebook, on YouTube. You can check it out on our podcast. Whatever platform you want to go to, we got you covered. So you can definitely go back and check that out. But today we're continuing on in this series, and we're going to talk about a very common season of life. Yet it's a season of life that not many people will own up to. It's a season of life that not too many people will talk about. It's a season of life, though, that every single one of us experience and go through at some point in time, and a lot of times at different points in times throughout life. And this morning, we're going to be talking about a season of doubt. Now, doubt in general is something that is not discussed very often. And when it actually is discussed, many times we tend to focus on the negative aspects of doubt. Because doubt is a lot like hurt in that when you don't handle doubt properly, it can lead to a lot of negative results. But if you can actually navigate and journey and walk through doubt in a healthy, productive way, it can actually turn out very positive. The results could be things like increased motivation, increased work ethic or confidence or security, joy even, clarity, and peace. But it all depends on how we process and work through. You see, whether it be self-doubt or spiritual doubt, doubt can play a significant role in your life. It can play a significant role in your success. And it can play a very unique and significant role in your relationship with God. Yet somewhere along the way, we kind of got this thing mixed up. Somewhere along the way, pastors and other church leaders began to use a doubt as kind of a weapon to cast out guilt and shame, to make anyone who was experiencing doubt feel extremely guilty, to make them feel less than. Now, don't get me wrong. When you read through scripture, there are a plethora of passages that talk specifically about doubt and how we need to remove doubt from our lives. And that ultimately is our end goal. But the reality of the fact is that we will experience doubt. And that these verses, these passages of scripture were written and intended to encourage us, right? To instruct us and to lead us from a point of doubt to a closer and more intimate relationship with God. Knowing him more fully. It was supposed to lead us to that, not to be used to beat us down with, not to throw down guilt and shame. That's not what these passages of scripture were for. And unfortunately, it's been utilized for that far too often. And what it ends up doing, it begins to blur the lines between faith and doubt. Blurring the lines between doubt and unbelief, which has honestly created a whole lot of problems. It's created a lot of problems for people individually in their spiritual journey, and it's created a lot of problems within the church. So what I would like to do for the rest of our time this morning, if you would give me the grace and the space, I'd like to simply walk through and discuss some of my thoughts and some scriptural truth concerning the reality of doubt. I'd like to dispel some of the false narratives that are out there concerning seasons of doubt and how we should process it and how we should approach it in our lives, especially in our lives and our relationship with Jesus. And to be completely open and transparent with you all, this message has been really difficult for me to get down onto paper. It's been a challenge, and it's because it's something that I'm extremely passionate about. I'm extremely passionate about it because when I think back over my life, especially my life and journey with Christ, my spiritual journey, when I look back at it, unfortunately, there are so many times that I was miserable, that I was terrified, that I was stuck, that I was fear-stricken, panicked. And a lot of the times it had to do with doubt. And not necessarily because of the doubt that I was, you know, processing and working through, but more than anything, it was because of the way that I was taught to handle and to work through doubt. Because of the way that I was taught, the reasons that I was taught that I had doubt in my life and that I was struggling with. You see, when I think back on those times, I was taught things like, well, if you have doubt in your life, it's probably because you just have some unconfessed sin in your life and you're just rebellious and you just don't want to conform to God's standards. Or I was told that you have doubt in your life because you just don't have enough faith. You just need more faith. Or I was told even that maybe you're struggling and wrestling with doubt because maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're not really a Christian, because if you were a Christian, if you were a true believer, there would not be an ounce of doubt in you. And you want to know what the result of that was? More fear, more doubt, further from God, because I was terrified. I was terrified to take it to Him. And I continued to doubt specifically my salvation and my standing with Jesus over and over and over. And it was awful. It was terrible. I don't want anyone to experience that. And when you want to know how I was taught to actually process and deal with doubt when it came, if I did have it in my life, regardless of the reason, I was taught, well, let me just share an example with you to tell you how I was taught. I can remember as clear as day, 17 years old, laying on Christian Academy of Louisville's football field, their brand new football field, with a severely broken leg and just being heartbroken. You see, it was my senior year and I had just spent a full year recovering from ACL repair, knee surgery. And this was supposed to be my year. And yet the second game of the season, I found myself laying on the field again in excruciating pain and just heartbroken because it was over. I knew at that moment my football career was over and potentially the rest of my year for sports, my senior year. I was devastated. And all I could do in that moment was just say, why? It was like on repeat, just why? Why, God? Why? Because that was my honest feelings in the moment. And that's when one of my coaches, who was actually one of my spiritual mentors at the time, he stepped on the field, stood over me, and guess what he said? He didn't give me anything encouraging. He just looked me square in the face and said, son, don't question God. Very blunt, very dry. Son, don't question God. He didn't give me any words of encouragement. He didn't normalize my normal reaction to physical and emotional pain. But in that moment, basically what he did was he told me that it's not okay to ask God questions. It's not okay to doubt. In that moment, he scolded me for having doubt. And what did I learn from that? Whether he meant to or not, what he taught me in that moment was that when doubt and questions come up, we should just ignore them, right? I mean, we should ignore them. Definitely don't verbalize them, don't tell anybody about it, and definitely don't take it to God. I don't know if that's what he meant, but that's what he actually taught me, unfortunately, in that moment. And honestly, the sad part about it is that's a very typical and common narrative that people teach when it comes to doubt. And it's sad. And the result of that teaching and that approach to doubt is that people then, whether consciously or subconsciously, walk away thinking that man, doubt is something that I have to run from. Doubt is something that if it exists in my life, I have to hide. Doubt is a symptom of spiritual immaturity. So I need to be ashamed of. Doubt is a symptom of unbelief or a lack of faith. That's what we then learn and think about doubt. And if I'm being completely honest, I think that it's just way off course. I don't think whatsoever that that's how God wants us to handle and deal with and approach doubt. I don't believe it, and I don't see it that way in Scripture. I just don't think that's how God wants us to handle it. You see, contrary to popular belief or what we may want to think or what people say, everyone experiences seasons of doubt. True, genuine Christ followers have seasons of doubt. Pastors, hear me, pastors have seasons of doubt. Those people that you think are the spiritual giants in this world today, they have doubt. We all have seasons of doubt, and it may look different for some people. Some people may struggle with seasons of doubt as it relates to doubting their salvation, or maybe doubting inerrancy of Scripture. Other people may struggle with doubt when it comes to whether or not they believe that God actually loves them unconditionally. Maybe they doubt that God will forgive them or that God could actually use them, and they struggle with that kind of doubt in their mind. Or maybe because of different seasons of life that they're going through. Maybe they're going through an unexpected season of change or a season of hurt. And as a result of that, in the moment, they're wrestling with doubt, doubting whether or not a true and loving God even exists. We all go through seasons of doubt. In your faith journey and your relationship with God, it's going to appear in some way, shape, or form. But the beautiful thing about this is that doubt doesn't have to own you. Doubt doesn't have to destroy you, and it doesn't have to build a wall between you and God. Actually, when you work through and process doubt in a healthy and biblical way, it can actually lead you into being closer to God. It can be like a launch pad that leads you to truth. I believe that seasons of doubt handled properly can actually play a huge role in your spiritual growth and development. Because think about it. How can you get from point A to point B in your relationship with God if you can't be honest with Him? How can you move closer in your faith and belief and grow in that if you can't honestly work through the doubt and the questions that pop up? Because they're going to come. And if we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus and we want to grow in our faith, we have to be willing to process it and work through it and not to simply ignore it. Again, you're going to hear me say this. We're all going to struggle with doubt at times. That's something that I wish I would have heard more of when I was younger, when I was going through those tough times, that it's not uncommon for people to have experience and work through some type of season of doubt. And the reason for this, one of the reasons for this, that we struggle with doubt and that we have doubt and that doubt exists in our life is because we weren't created to know everything. God doesn't intend us to have all the answers. He doesn't. He doesn't expect us to have all the answers. In Deuteronomy chapter 29:29, Moses writes this. He says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." So based on this, there are clearly some things that God has chosen to keep from us, things that He's chosen not to reveal to us in this point in time, here in this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, Paul says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." He says, "Now I know in part." I don't know everything. "I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." He says, "I only know a part of it. Eventually, when I meet Jesus face to face, I'll see the whole picture and I'll know it all. But on this side of eternity, in this life, we are only going to know in part. We're not going to know everything. God has chosen to operate that way, and therefore he does not expect us to know it all. And this is why faith is so important. But this is also where things tend to get a little out of whack, because there's a lot of the times there are people out there that believe and teach that doubt is the opposite of faith. That doubt and faith can't coexist together. They believe that if you're wrestling with any kind of doubt, that maybe you don't really believe. If you're wrestling with doubt, then you don't have faith. But based on the scripture that we just read, right? Scripture that says that here on this earth, we're not going to know everything. I think we could safely say that the opposite of faith is not doubt, but rather the opposite of faith is us thinking that we know everything. Us thinking that we have all the answers. That's the opposite of faith. Because think about it. If we believe that we know everything, that we have all the right answers, if we believe that we're never going to doubt, then let me ask, what's the point of faith? If we know everything and can know everything, why do we need faith? You see, we shouldn't look at this thing through the lens of faith versus doubt, but rather we should look at faith as this beautiful vehicle that will lead us through our seasons of doubt, leading us closer to God, into a more intimate and clear and true and beautiful relationship with him. That's what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. Faith is believing that God is who he said he is, and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do despite the fact that we don't know everything. That's faith. Faith is believing and continuing to follow God even when we have questions, even when we're wrestling with doubt. That's faith. And it's this kind of faith that leads us through seasons of doubt. And it's this kind of faith that only comes from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God. So grace, salvation, faith, these things are all gifts from God. You see, on your own, you cannot maintain the level of faith needed to journey through life and to work through doubt, to move forward in your relationship with God. You can't self-sustain that kind of faith. It only comes within the confines of a relationship and connection with God. Faith is a journey, right? That's why we call it a faith journey. It's a journey full of ups and downs, but when we're connected to the vine, right? When we're constantly connected to God, we can truly move forward and our faith will grow and we will be able to move through successfully, productively, healthily, move through seasons of doubt. And along this journey, please don't get caught off guard and don't feel less than and don't feel guilty when you face questions and thoughts and feelings of doubt. Don't push them aside and choose to ignore them and act like they don't exist. But rather, when you're faced with a season of doubt, when you have a feeling of doubt that creeps into your mind or that creeps into your life and you start to wrestle with it, this is what I want you to do. I want you to own it, and I want you to take it to Jesus. own your doubt, and take it to Jesus. That's it. That's the process that we are going to work through to move past our seasons of doubt. You see, we've got to give ourselves some grace. We're only human. And we were not designed or intended to know everything. God doesn't expect you to know everything. Therefore, there's going to be room and there's going to be times for doubt to pop up. And when it does, we have to own it. And then we take it to Jesus. We take it to the one who is the author and sustainer and finisher of our faith. We take it to the one who truly knows everything. We don't, but he does. So we take it to him. And we take it to the only one that can bring clarity and who can speak truth to our doubt. We own our doubt. And we take it to Jesus. I love the example of this process found in Mark chapter 9 when this father, this desperate father, brings his son who had, since being a little child, had been tormented and possessed by this evil spirit. So he brings his son to Jesus. And in his conversation with Jesus, he said this. And again, Mark chapter 9, verse 22. The father says to Jesus, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus quickly took note of the word "if." Jesus saw that this man was wrestling and dealing with a season of doubt. And this is how Jesus responded. Verse 23, "If you can," said Jesus. He said, "Everything is possible for one who believes." No guilt, no shame, just Jesus speaking truth and encouragement to this man in his season of doubt. Jesus said, "Hey, if?" No, everything is possible for one who believes. And I love the Father's response because I can resonate and connect with it so much. Verse 24. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Man, I can just hear the father speaking here in verse 24 saying, "Jesus, I know, I do believe, but man, it's just been such a long journey. I've watched my son be tormented and almost killed over and over by this evil spirit, and nothing's worked, and I'm just broken. I'm in a season of doubt. I believe, so help me overcome my unbelief." He owned his doubt and he took it to Jesus. Along the way in your faith journey, I promise you're going to experience seasons of doubt. Maybe for you, maybe you're experiencing seasons of doubt because maybe you actually aren't walking with God like you should. And that's not any shame or condemnation or judgment, but if you know you're not walking with Jesus, and therefore there's more room and opportunities to doubt. And if that's the case, just own it and take it to Jesus and start walking with him once again. Maybe for you, it's that as you were growing up or even recently, you were taught and actually believed some things that just really aren't biblical, some things that aren't true. And now you're just trying to sift through what's right and what's wrong, what's true and what's not true. And you're just really wrestling with doubt in this season. And if that's you, trust me, I get it. Been there, done that, still working through it. But own it and take it to Jesus. Or maybe for you, you're just simply wrestling with a season of doubt for no other reason other than the fact that you just don't know everything. And as a result, there's just been some thoughts and some doubts that's kind of popped up. It's okay. Own it and take it to Jesus. If you find yourself today struggling and wrestling with a season of doubt, don't ignore it. Don't push it away, and definitely don't feel guilty for it. Instead, simply own it. Acknowledge that you have the doubt acknowledge what it is, and then take it to Jesus. Because it's only through Jesus that you can find truth. It's only through taking it to Him and through Him that you can have true clarity and true peace. He will speak truth to your doubt when you acknowledge it and own it and take it to Him. Let's pray. God, I come to you this morning. I'm just so thankful that you offer us grace. I'm thankful that you love us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. God, I'm so thankful that despite the fact that at times we have seasons of doubt, you're still there for us and you're ready for us to bring that doubt to you so that you can speak truth over it. God, I pray for each and every person that's listening here, God, and that's praying with me now, God, that you would truly speak truth over them, that you would calm their doubt, that you would speak truth in their doubt, that you would increase their faith, and that they would seek you, Father, and that they would grow closer and closer to you as a result. God, do a work in their lives, do a work in my life. God, help us to be more like you. Help us to be able to weather the tough seasons of change and of hurt and the seasons of doubt. And through you, come out on the other end closer and more confident than ever. Not because of ourselves, but because of you. God, thank you for being the author and the sustainer of our faith. God, we thank you for loving us despite our flaws. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for making a way through your son Jesus that we can be made right before you. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, again, thank you all so much for being here with us this morning. If this is your first time connecting with LifePoint Church and you want some more information, feel free to drop us a comment or a direct message, or you shoot me an email. We'll definitely get back in touch with you. Or if you want more information, or you want to talk with someone about maybe some of the doubt that you're struggling with and you're wrestling with, man, we'd love to talk with you about that. Or if you'd like more information, or want to know what it takes and what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, to be connected to the Father through confessing and believing. If you want more information about that, please send me a direct message or an email, and I will definitely get in touch with you, and we can walk through some of that. I'd love to answer whatever questions that you might have. Also, if you call LifePoint Church home, or if you just you want to give, you can still give with your tithes and your offerings through in worship in that way. You can just go online to our website. It's lpc502.com. And you go into that, top right-hand corner is an online giving button. You click it. It'll take you to a safe and secure place where you can give. And we just want to encourage you to just continue to be faithful in your giving as we continue to reach more people, move the gospel forward, and to love and to serve and help as many people as we possibly can. We strive and long to truly be the church as the church was designed to be. And finally, if you missed the beginning of our service, I just want to remind you that our targeted reopen date is June 21st. And we will have more information for you on what that's going to look like the closer we get to it. But until then, and even after then, we're going to continue to meet online here, Facebook Live, and as well as it's going to be posted later on YouTube. So, man, thank you all again for being with us. I love you all. I pray for each of your safety and health, and that you will continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you need anything, reach out to us. And if not, until then, we'll talk to you later. Love you guys. See you next time.